Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 470, Processing. I'll let you know that the alternative title was going to be Zen Turns 9. Because as this podcast is released today, February 1st, Zen's birthday turns 9. And it's, I mentioned the podcast, but it's that time of year where Zen turns 9, podcast turns 9, March 1st. And the end of March, I turned 59. So it started in 2020 when I turned 55, Zen turned 5, and the podcast turned 5, and 4, 5 equaled 20, and it was 2020. And it became the best year immediately, and before it was even my birthday, and then COVID hits. And it continued to be the best year of my life. So again, when that time of year, when it's February, March, it's kind of cool just to have those similar numbers come around. And I don't know, I enjoy that a lot, obviously. So processing was a word, talking to my friend, and he said that word. I'm like, I know I've heard it before. I know I've used it before, but it's just something I hadn't heard in a long time. And it fits so well to what I'd just gone through. And I'll kind of tell you about what I, my little experience that I went through. But I was really aware of, like, okay, you're fine, but it's just taking time to process it. It's like, because this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, you understand why, kind of looking at it in hindsight. But, you know, again, you kind of have to give yourself time to process. So I was doing a lot of processing lately. So I thought, great, great, great title. And there's a podcast, Rethinking, with a guest, Susan David. And wonderful, just a wonderful podcast. So I talk about that a lot. And just things that have been happening as of late. But really, again, I just keep saying this and I keep saying this and I keep saying it in the podcast. You know, it's your life. It's on you. It's on, again, things will happen. Stuff's just going to happen. Don't attach meaning. But that second moment, second step, second phase, A happened. What are you going to do? What's your response? What, you know, what are you going to do to move forward? And again, it might take time to process it, to see it with clarity, to be highly aware of all. And again, you might not become aware when what you'll hear in the story. You know, I was highly aware of an older version of me that was ready to take over a situation. And I was like, yeah, let's not let that happen. And that was success to me in that moment, was just not letting an older version enter, you know, real time right now. And, you know, again, those things are just not, they're not fun. You know, they're not fun to see, but it's part of that growth. It's not always comfortable, not planned, not expected. But if you're moving forward, you know that. And that's what, you know, those little breadcrumbs will keep you doing, keep you moving forward. And, you know, and again, as I got through this, like, oh, great story. Oh, great teachable moment. Oh, great lesson learned. And, oh, okay, now I can't undo that. Now I can't unsee that. I know that now. If I choose to respond differently, my experience will be different. And I've proved that to myself. So that's, there's power in that, you know, empowers you. So I hope 2024 is going well. January went well for you. And if you have any questions, any comments, you'd like to share anything, please holler at me, proupodcast@gmail.com. Would love to hear anything you have to share, say, ask. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, and enjoy. Hello, hello, hello. Here we are. Second episode of 2024. Today, as this is released, will be February 1st. So I hope 2024 first month went well. you're deeming yourself worthy. February 1st, and I don't know if it's exact, because when you rescue a dog, you know, they don't have any, you know, real confirmation of the, you know, age or birth date. But February 1st became Zen's birthday. So Zen turns 9 today, which is, has always been the cool thing, because then on March 1st, that's when I came out with the podcast. Podcast turns 9. End of March, I turn 59. Trip 9s. So I always love that whole number thing, that it continues. So first thing I want to talk about before I get to chatting about Zen, I kind of wanted the title to be Zen is 9, but processing was a kind of a, it was, well, actually I was talking to Scott and he just said it. I was like, it's like a word I've known, obviously, but hadn't used or thought of in a long time. And it was just the perfect word for what I experienced, like for 3 days. And I'll tell you about that in a moment. But the first thing I wanted to chat about was a podcast I just listened to like 2 days ago, and it was wonderful. There's a few now that I'm have on, I don't know what you call them, you follow them. So, you know, that those are the four that when I go to my little podcast app, those are the four podcasts that I listen to. So I skim through or search through to see if, you know, any title kind of grabs me. And then, but Scott actually sent me this one, and it's from the podcast Rethinking, and it's titled Overcoming Toxic Positivity, which is kind of a trippy title, right? With this Susan David. And this Susan David is just a wonderful lady. I believe she's British, but just wonderful accent. She's just, everything about her. Like I text Scott, hey, thanks. I said, really enjoyed Susan. And I said, it was probably one of my favorite podcasts that I've listened to. So, and I took notes. So when that happens, you know, I was digging it. First line, I think it's one of the first lines that the, and I forgot the dude whose podcast it is, but he says the word emotional skills. And I just was like a total, like everything stopped for a moment. And I had, because I remember in the past, I have said, I'm stronger mentally, emotionally, physically. And I kind of got a sense of, stronger emotionally, you know what I mean? I was, you know, I would go, okay, I'm pretty sure I know what that is. I'm pretty sure I'm stronger emotionally than I was, you know, 20 years ago. But when I talked about skills, and then it went on to that an emotional skill set is always kind of viewed as soft skills. So, like, you know, you're a boy and you're raised, you know, don't cry, don't show emotion. Those things are soft. Those things are feminine. And to think about, I'm going to build an emotional skill set. I mean, it just sounded so trippy to me, but I'm like, that's exactly what I've done, you know, because I had mental strength, you know, to do, you know, to go work out, to do sports, you know, to be, you know, consistently repetitive and get better. There's got to be some sort of mental strength. So I feel that. But the fear and the anxiety and the worry, to me, that's kind of, well, probably, you know, mental as well, but kind of more of the emotional thing. And if you know, if I went back to little Tommy, I'm like, look, this is what we need to do. We need to build an emotional skill set. And it just sounded like such a great term, you know, what a, just a wonderful descriptive, you know, two words, emotional skill set. Because it's a thing, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I didn't know there was such a thing as an emotional skill set. And it's like, yeah, how's yours? I don't know. Let me take inventory. What is an emotional skill set? So I loved that, thinking about, like, I know, and I was saying this to someone the other day, you know, like I've reframed success. I'm trying to, you know, I'm working on it, but I know I've succeeded at some things. You know, it's like, I know, like, my ability to be present. I just wasn't before. There was so much noise, so much chatter in my head that there was no way I was able to be present. Just in the moment, not worried about yesterday, not thinking about tomorrow. Just, wow, hey, I'm walking this dog. I love this dog. This is great. I love, you know, just in that moment, maximizing that moment. I'm like, I love the fact that that's just like part of my life now. I achieved that. That just that didn't happen. Someone didn't knock on the door and go, here it is, being present, sign your name. You know, I know, and that's the greatest thing about achieving these cool things is you put the work in. You decided to pursue this thing. You know the work, time, energy that went into it. So you feel good because it's all that you did for you, and then you're the sole benefactor of that. You know what I mean? You get the fruits of that labor. You enjoy the fruits, and you're proud. You know, you're just proud. Accomplishment, huge thing. Self-accomplishment, huge thing. And they said this phrase when they were talking back and forth in the podcast, teachable moment. And I'd heard that phrase before, but I just wanted to write it down because it's like you can learn from every moment. So, you know, there's a lesson to be learned in every moment. But saying a teachable moment, you know, it's, again, Scott's way into wording. Like everything is like he takes it very literally and at face value. So, you know, because I don't, you know, I'm not the best. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed when it comes to verbiage usage. But I just like how I said teachable moment. Like, oh, I was being taught something in this moment. You know, if you're being taught something, it's typically something of value. And like, oh, I didn't know that. Now I know. Okay, cool. Teachable moment. Again, just rewording it, looking at it a little differently. So it's not just, oh, this negative thing, this thing that's attached with, you know, a stigma. Oh, look what you did wrong. It was just a teachable moment. Now I know. Look, you know, I love that. And maybe that resonates with you. But teachable moment. I liked that. Then when Susan was talking, she talked about, you know, the importance of, you know, the emotions and, you know, and feeling them and expressing them and being okay with them. And she said, you know, they're neither good or bad. And then she said these three words, compassion, curiosity, and acceptance. And it just was like, yeah, when you're thinking about yourself, use those three words. You want to be compassionate. You're definitely curious. And then, you know, whatever you find out, whatever you discover, you know, whatever you realize is going on and what you want to work on, there's just an acceptance. But just three wonderful words, compassion, curiosity, and acceptance. So the whole thing about overcoming toxic positivity, it's like, you know, really, really polar kind of terms. What's that? Oh, there's a term for that. Oxymoron. Toxic positivity, I believe, would be considered an oxymoron. But it's like, it's a bit, because this girl, Susan, she said when she was a young child, she lost her father. And she kind of learned that if she put a smile on her face, people are like, way to go. Like, look at you. Look how well you're handling it. Now, inside, she was just torn up. But if she put on this kind of false smile, she was kind of rewarded. And it's almost like people are like, look, we'd rather you walk around with a smile. Then we don't have to feel uncomfortable. Because if someone's walking around with sadness in their face, tears in their eyes, you know, the look of their heart being broken, that's going to make me feel uncomfortable. So my comfort is more important than your reality. And it just got like deep because, you know, again, she was just really, really suffering inside. But, you know, she just really quickly realized that where people are like, wow, congrats on handling this so well because you're not showing any emotion. You know, you're not, you know, you're smiling. Way to go. Way to be strong. And she said that just be positive. That whole phrase, just be positive, equals avoidance. If you're like, look, this, you know, because it can't. She said this time, she goes, being positive never cured cancer. Now, it's not saying you have cancer, you shouldn't be positive. That's not what it is, but it's like, oh, just be positive. That bad thing happened. Oh, that bad thing's happening. Just be positive. It's like, it's gonna, again, what that ends up equaling, you know, the net result is some sort of avoidance. So it's like pessimism. This is so great because as I'm listening to the podcast, I have this thought. And then they went right into it, but it was slightly different. They said, okay, for example, pessimism versus optimism. What's more important? Well, what's more important is the absence of pessimism versus the presence of optimism. So again, it's not like, oh, don't be positive. It's like, no, be positive. That's fine. But what's way more important is the negativity, the pessimism. And that was, again, when they right before they went into the negative or the absence of or they went into pessimism versus optimism, I was like, oh, this is that negative thinking versus positive, because they just heard that on a podcast. Or I think it was a quote might have been that, you know, what's more important, negative, less negative thinking or more positive thinking? And it was like hands down, like just, you know, black and white. Less negative thinking is way more important than more positive thinking. And so that's that whole thing of, well, just be positive. It's like, that's not the answer. That's not the best answer. Now, again, nothing wrong with that. But that's not like the greatest answer for, again, a lot of this emotional stuff. And then one thing that they went over, and this was kind of a trip because I hadn't thought about this, I don't think ever, but right when they said it, I was like, well, you can't. That's impossible. So I was totally aligned with what they were talking about, and I thought I would share it. So again, this might bother some people if you're, you know, someone that's said this. But I don't like how you made me feel. Look how you just made me feel. And right away, this is, I said, nobody can make you. In my head, that was the voice said, you know, hey, you can't make me feel. And they went into it. And they're like, look, you can influence how someone's feeling. But you can't make someone you know, someone feel something. Like walk up and go, I'm going to make you feel happiness right now. And then I'm going to make you feel sad. It's like you can't make anybody feel anything. Again, you can influence them. You know what I mean? But like it was like that whole, well, you're in control. And again, that's what I'm learning. You know, and again, the whole processing, I'm going to get into that story next, but it's all on me. It's all I've been saying, like, I think the last year on podcasts and the clients, it's on you, still a choice, your choice. End of the day, it's on you. Wasn't planned, you know, wasn't expected, not comfortable, not fun, but what are you going to do? It's on you. You know, life punches you. All right, step two, phase two, on you. What's your choices? You know, what are you going to do? What's your response? Choose your response. I mean, I'm just, you know, I have been very, very, very repetitive and very, very, very consistently repetitive at the point of being redundant with that. So, and then she said like this, look, when you're saying you make me feel, it's as if you're reinforcing that I'm a victim. You know, look what happened to me. Look what they did to me. You know, like I am this way because of what's happening. And again, that's not ownership at all. So love that. All right. So my sticky note is RV guy. So there's a quick synopsis of like it kind of built up. I'm really trying to keep this one person out of my head. I don't like this person. It's not the point. Why would I want this person that I don't like in my head? I'm like, why? So that's where I went. Why is this person in your head? Do you want this person? Like, why are you, you know, I'm like, oh, and this is like older versions of me still holding on to some things. But now I'm recognizing, going, dude, what's more important right now? In complete control of your mind and what's in it and everything in it is good and wonderful? Or, hey, because that whole, hey, I'm going to do this thing over here because I'm going to feel this way because I don't like what that person did. And they did it. It's, to me, I'm ego. So let's get rid of the ego. Let's get rid of all that stuff. Let's bring in more peace. You know, that's what you're going to work on. So Scott said this phrase one day. He goes, it's like a slight hum. And I was like, exactly. So it wasn't bad. And, you know, nothing bad has happened. But I just like, next level. I just don't want to think about this person. So I actually had shared that story with Scott that I was like, oh, yeah, this thing came up, you know, and it was kind of like really, you know, obvious to me that, you know, this connection keeps going when I feel and I don't want to feel. So, you know, I'm working on it. And I kind of talked about this Tuesday morning. So then it was Tuesday afternoon and I'm walking Zen, and it was one of our shorter walks, kind of end of the day, and walked by a neighbor that I'd seen before and had said hi to, and talking to this other neighbor that lives across the street that I'd never said hi to, kind of like not real, I don't know, I don't get a good vibe from him, so we just never said hi. I mean, nothing bad, but just don't get, you know, anything like good from him. And they're talking. And as I walk by, the guy leans into the one guy and kind of like he says something. He kind of turns his back as I walk by. And then the guy he said something to that would normally have said hi to me, he's just kind of like staring. So I get, you know, when you have a, well, again, when you have kind of parents that are a certain way, you become very, very sensitive and very, very aware. And all that stuff is with me. Like right away, I just picked up on like, this is funky. And as I walk by, neither one says anything. And I'm like, all right. So I'm just walking by and I get like 15, 20 feet and I hear, excuse me, sir, sir, excuse me. And I'm like, automatically, I'm like, I'm not turning. Like, it's so weird because I'm not like, what are you going to do? Are you going to turn around? I'm like, nothing. It was just like, no, you're not turning. Like, a voice in my head was like, no, you're not turning around. And now, so the processing, and I'm walking, almost like it happened kind of slow motion. And I'm processing, and I'm like, right when I was next to him was the time to go, hey, hello, how you doing? Got a question. You know what I mean? Like, why would you wait until I passed you? Like, not just a step. We're talking like, you know, 15, 20 feet past you. And it was just like, I'm pretty positive that whatever was said was probably going to be some sort of test for me. Like, I was just going to, you know what I mean? It was just like, I don't know. It's some question. Like, he was so hesitant. He was so, you know, it wasn't like, hey. Hey, you, I got something. It wasn't like he was trying super hard to get my attention. He was very tentative. And I'm like, dude, I was right next to you. Like, we could have brushed shoulders. You had something to say that was fine. You would have said it. Why were you hesitant? Why were you waiting? So I just kept walking. But all of a sudden, it's like, okay, now I'm like, what was that about? Kind of don't care. I wasn't like, oh my, you know, again, like, hey, you know, just cursing or something, or raised his voice. Then it would have, I mean, it would have been a whole different thing. I just kept walking. Like, you know, he really wants to get attention, my attention, he will. You know, if he really wanted to say something, he would have said something when I passed him. So, like, within 5 minutes, I'm home. And I'm like, well, what's this now? You know, just a little bit. Like, there's that little hum, and then we got another little hum. And I kind of don't like those things. I don't like those humps. I don't like that, oh, I'm going to walk out the door and there's a negative something waiting out there. Like, that thing I don't like. So that's what I'm trying to, you know, okay, what's, I'm just trying to, like, maybe take inventory. Meanwhile, parked out front for the last 2 days is this long, big, huge RV, which I'm always like, you know, can they park in a residential area? And I see them once in a while. But this dude pulls in when it's like street cleaning Monday morning. So there's no cars there. And he parks there. And I'm like, you know, he doesn't get a ticket. I'm like, and then he parks overnight. I'm like, he's got Florida plates. I'm like, you can't get parking permits when you're out of state. I'm like, you know, he's parking, no tickets. I'm like, how is he? And he's always like, day two. So this is the Tuesday. Talked to Scott about the like low hum. Had to walk by the two dudes. Got the little weird vibe. 2 o'clock in the morning, I happen to get up and, you know, go get a drink of water or something. I walk by the window and I see this guy come out of the RV and I'm like, hey, what's he doing? He pulls a generator out of the side compartment, sets it down and starts pulling the cord. And I'm like, no, he is not in my head. I'm like, no, he is not going to start a generator, right? I'm like, and I'm like, you were in it. It was just, again, I wasn't irate, like, I'm going out. I was like, yes, you're going to go out there. Like, I'm not waiting. I'm not. And now I tapped on the door. I didn't like gently, you know, hi, excuse me. But I wasn't full blown Tom irate. So tap, tap, tap comes the door. I go, dude, I go, okay, you got to shut that off, dude. I go, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. He's like, right away, like, whatever, and shuts the door, and I knock on it again. I'm like, dude, it's 2 o'clock, you know, you can't do this. You know, I'm like fumbling for, like, how do you not understand? It's a Tuesday night, you know, weeknight. I don't even know if you're supposed to be parked here, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, you pull out a generator and you start it. And then I think he shuts the door. I can't remember what kind of happened, but all of a sudden he comes out with this club looking thing. It was a weird shape. But, and he starts pointing it, and I hit it, and I go, get it out of my face. So now there's like, okay, who's going to go on now? Like, you know, is it like, okay, I can go get a weapon. I got axes and swords on my wall from being the Excalibur. I'm like, I got, you know, if you want to yell and scream, you want to get, I can do that. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, where do you, Mr. Bad Guy, want to take this? Because I have tons of older versions of me that are just ready to go. And I just go, I'm done. I just walk in. So I call and make a noise complaint. And it's how, you know, connect here, go listen to this, this whole process, finally talk, call, and hang up. And within like 10, 15 minutes, he shuts the generator off. So I'm like, well, if the cops come, you know, now it's off. But I'm like, the cops are supposed to come. So I'm kind of like up. And I'm up because my heart's beating a million miles an hour. And I'm like, well, I know I'm going to be up. And I'm kind of waiting for the cops to show up. And it's 3 o'clock. Then it's 3:30. And then it's 4. And I'm like, I don't know if the cops showed up or not. They could have drove by and saw the, you know, didn't hear the generator. So just kept driving, or were like, that's done, whatever it was. And I'm like looking, and Zen's kind of been up this whole time because I guess he just senses me, because I'm like, I'll be up. And I'm like, Zen sleeps through the night, but I'm like, I'll be up. And then Zen's like, yeah, let's go for a walk. And I'm like, you want to go for a walk? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Now this is where, again, this is not fun to share, but again, the depth of uncomfortableness that we have to go along the personal growth path. You know, it's just not fun to watch older versions of you, to be aware of older versions of you when you're like really, really trying hard to be this better version. So immediately I notice I'm going through hypotheticals. I'll go get a weapon. I'm going to do something to his trailer. I'm going to do something to the generator. I'm going to do this. And I was just like kind of watching it. And I thought of the word, and it was like kind of rapid fire. I was like, tsh, tsh, this. And the whole time I'm not like, because when the dude broke my window, I remember talking to Scott and going, okay, the next time, like this was just in my head. Like it was just like, okay, here's the deal. The next time you see him, you're going to break his window. But then from that point on, it was like, then I was going to make this plan of like how to let it go, how to move on, how to whatever. But it was just like, and I was like, you're gonna, so if you saw this guy again, that's what you would. And it wasn't even like a question, it was just like this part of me going, yeah, we're for sure doing that. And I'm like, well, that again, the stuff I'm talking about now, I'm like, well, that's what keeps the connection going. That's what's adding to the fire. You know, you want to participate, you contribute, you keep the connection going. That vibe, that yuck flourishes. Why do you want to stoke it? So it's all that. And I'm not like tripping in a way, like where I'm like, wow, I'm not going, think of another one, Tom. Come on, you can think of another one. Come on, what do you really want to do? I'm like, no, don't do anything. Don't do nothing. And that was kind of the walk with Zen that whole time. I'm like shutting down all these hypotheticals and going like the A side of me to the B side of me is like, dude, you need to chill on, you're not doing anything, you know. And I get home and I'm looking at his camper. I'm like, just, you know, walk, just go in the back, enter the back, you know, go up, go inside. So I go inside, it's like 4:30, and I'm like, but haven't slept, you know, since 2, and I'm up. Like, I know if I even, like, try to close my eyes, it'll be a while before I fall asleep. So I'm like, all right, just start your day. So I make some coffee, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, all right. You know from past experiences, and this is the greatest, like, one of the fruits of my labor, is when you start going, okay, if you want what's happened in the past, do what you've done. You know, go down there, do something. Write a shitty note, you know, knock on his door again, bring a weapon down there, you know, cut the tie rope off to his generator, you know, like whatever you want. Like, then what's going to happen then? Uh-oh. Like, what? Now, what if he? Now he can escalate it. Now I'm, you know, now I'm waiting for that. Now what if that happens? What if he? And it's like, what? And I'm like, okay, so you're going to be this different version of you. Okay, cool. So what if it happens again tonight? And I'm like, see, that's what I start thinking about. He's not moving. He didn't go, okay, I'm sorry. Let me put the generator in. Let me move. I've been parked here too long, sir. Thank you. And I'm like, if this happens again, and it's like, okay, what can you do? And I'm like, okay, there's got to be some sort of, and it's always like, you get on the phone to call and you're like, who do I, like, I don't know who to call to ask. Like, if, like, he's been parked here, you can park here. It's not like other cars don't, but he's been parked here for like 48 hours. How does that happen? Like, who do I ask that question to? I end up talking to a lady, end up asking her. And she goes, sir, people can park wherever they want to. I go, I know, but I mean, without getting any tickets, without, you know, I mean, he's been 48 hours, you know, parks overnight, parks through streets, cleaning anything. Then he pulls out a generator. I go, how is this? And it's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I hear the RV start up and I'm like, no way. And I look out my window and I go running downstairs and there's the parking, you know, a little funky car right in front. And he had started the RV and he starts pulling away. And I was like, there you go. And it was totally like, totally just with, you know, complete clarity and awareness. You decided not to be the old Tom, therefore changing the older outcomes where it was just escalated. And then you had more junk in your head where you're like, okay, I'm going to do this, do what I can do it, put it on someone else. And let them handle it, me stay out of it. And there was no residual. You know, it's like, well, I did this, and that's what, you know, now there's this. But what if he comes back? What if he does this? What if he, what if, you know, it's just nothing. He just drove away, and I was just like, like the warm water was poured over my body. And I was like, ah, just released and cleansed. And then it was right then, I was like, okay, because I started to attach meaning. Like there's that low hum, then I walk by the two dudes and there's another hum, and now this thing, like, what am I going to do with this RV guy, you know? And he pulled out a weapon, and how should I combat that, you know? What should be my reaction? And I was like, da, 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 da. You know, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, how, like, why is this happening to me? A little bit, very, very slight. And I was like, hold up, because once the RV, like, once I made a decision to call, I was like, I took a turn. You know, I'm going to do something different. What can I do? I'll put it on someone else. Okay, I'll put it on someone else. Okay, cool. And then it was right then, within, I mean, it was a while, but like that morning, like, well, it was 1 o'clock, like in the afternoon. So, I mean, it was not, you know, 5-6 hours. And I was like, okay, cool. That's gone and that's done. And I was like, way, way better experience than how you would have handled it with older versions of yourself. And I was like, and there's no attachment, you know, whatever those two dudes went through, that's on them. I don't care. Like, nothing. Again, if they would have been, you know, adamant and vocal and loud and, you know, swore, you know what I mean, anything, bad. They're like, you know what I mean, I walked by and they fumbled what to say or how to say it, and they decided to kind of to be mousy about it. And I'm like, good, I'll just ignore you. And nothing, you know, again, it's like to me, and it was just, okay. And it took me, and this is where I love the word, it just took me time to process that. Because I started thinking, you haven't slept. How sharp are you? How aware, you know, how clear is your head? Now, you were up not because you just couldn't sleep. You were up because you were upset. You were up, not sleeping, upset, because a dude, you know, is being completely, you know, out of line with the generator, and then, you know, pulling out the weapon and, you know, putting it in your face. And like, I'm like, okay, I know the old Tom that wants to show up right now, totally testing you. And what did you do? All right. I don't want to go get a weapon. I don't want to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, or P. I don't want to do any of those. And then again, I started changing my day. And then when he drove away, I had just this amazing clarity. So, was it the next day? And I, okay, so that was Tuesday to Wednesday. And I kind of just got through the day. It was fine, went to sleep. But I get up Thursday and I work out. And this idea comes into my head. And this is where we're going to swing it around to Zen now. You know, I had taken Zen on shorter and shorter walks over the last year and a half. We hadn't been a couple places in a couple years because they were just kind of gnarly, you know, inclines. And it's like, no need to test Zen. He's walking shorter, laying down. We go to the puppy park. Like, there's no reason to test him physically. Well, again, bigger, got better, got stronger, got healthier. And he started deciding to do bigger loops, bigger walks, longer walks. And then we went to Rincon and he did the whole walk, the whole descent, everything. And I was like, oh my God, we hadn't been there in over a year. So it was like fantastic. I was like the best news in the world. And then, probably a month ago, we were walking Griffith, and we kept getting bigger loop and the bigger loop, and this one loop goes up into the canyon. Now, at the end of that loop, there's a small trail that goes up to the observatory, but it starts totally inclined, almost like a 45. Like, I got to touch my hands a lot. And again, he knows, like, where we've been, where we're walking, like, and I'm like, look at him, like, really? Like, you want to, I'm like, all right, and I don't really remember how gnarly it was, but it was gnarly. Again, I'm huffing and puffing. A couple times I had to push Zen's butt up because it's at an incline. There's like kind of a little bit of a jump, so you got to go up and forward, and he keeps going, so it's inspiring me, and I'm like, I wouldn't be doing this, and I'm in flip-flops. I go, I wouldn't be even doing this if my dog wasn't, and every time he'd kind of stop, not every time, but I would stop, and I'd be like, you know, we can turn around, you want to go back? And he just right then, like, as soon as I would, like, ask a question, he'd be like, nope, we'll keep going. So he really, you know, initiated, inspired me, and I got all the way up, and I was just crazy. You know, I'm like, that was so hard, but I'm like, wow, way to go. And I got done with that, and I'm like, that's amazing, those two things. And I didn't even think about there was a trifecta. Well, a mile away, walking distance, is Runyon Canyon. And it's a huge hiking place. And I think it's like almost 4,000 feet elevation. I think, I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't remember. Not that important. But it's something that Zen and I just haven't done. We don't need to walk that far because it's almost 6 miles round trip. And then up the hill, this one part you go up or down is gnarly. It just is. And we've always gone up the gnarliest part and then walked down this kind of winding road. And we went and did that. And I was walking back and I'm like, my legs were just filled with lactic acid up on the top. We started getting to the top and I'm like, oh my God. But then you just walk a long way down and then I walk another mile home and it was just in my head going, look what you went through, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday. And then after all of that, you get up, workout. And after your workout, you go do this thing that you're not even sure Zen can do or that you can do. And obviously another thing, I forgot how hard it was, but it was just this other like reward. Cause again, it's cardio. It's like a hard workout. Like, I'm humping and pumping and huffing and puffing. And then again, I just watched Zen and he's fine. And we're like on the road now walking back and he's trotting. I got energy. But of course I knew he'd be tired for the day. So it was like, you know, great to tire out your dog. But when he's older or he's injured, it's, you know, how do you tire out your dog so he just sleeps a lot? So it's just win, 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 victory. But I'm thinking victory. But I'm thinking, because I'm looking at it. And again, the word just processing. Like, it takes time to process all that. You can't be in your head immediately. Like, I don't care that I haven't slept. I need to be da, 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 da. Whoa, 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 whoa. you don't need to be nothing. You don't need to, like, you're probably not going to get clarity for a minute. You know, you can't be impatient right now. You can't be impatient with yourself right now. Again, when compassion, little curiosity, and acceptance. I mean, all of those happened. Why am I going through these things? Curious. Don't attach meaning. You know, compassion. Look, you know, that's understandable. Funky vibe here, funky vibe there. That happens. You don't sleep. You know, you encounter an unwell, you know, person who's being completely obnoxious and won't just, you know, admit to it and say, sorry, I'll turn it off. I'm, you know, it's a residential area and I'm 2 o'clock in the morning. You're right. You know, you didn't, you meant the opposite of that. So that is going to influence you and how you felt. But it wasn't like, oh, he made me mad. He didn't let me sleep. And what I choose, how I respond. Not fun, not comfortable, still messed up that Wednesday. It was still a funky day. I didn't sleep Tuesday night. You know, but whatever it was before 2 o'clock. But then again, wide awake from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 all the way. Not comfortable, not fun, not planned, not expected, not wanted. But, well, what are you going to do, Tom? You know, it's all that is in my head. There's never any like, oh, and that's what I love now. It's like, that's your problem. You can fix it. What are you going to do? How do you want to feel? You want to feel good? You know what to do. You want to stay in funk? You totally know what to do. Just keep doing what you're doing. You like that yucky feeling? Cool. Keep doing what you're doing. You want to attach meaning? Go ahead. Feel bad. You want to stare at the hole? Go ahead. Options. But you gotta be patient with yourself. Like, I wasn't like, okay, it's 9 a.m. I need it. It was like, wait a minute. It wasn't until that RV was made to leave. That was like the first feel good breakthrough. But it was the choices that led up to it, the things I chose not to do, that allowed that piece to happen when the RV was asked to leave. So all these little steps, you know, connect. And I'm like, okay, that felt better. Right then it was a shift. It wasn't like, oh, now I don't need sleep and I'm happy. It's like, no, I feel way better because of my actions. I didn't get, like, involved. There's no residual. He drove away, gone, done. End of story. Yay, I did that. If I would have escalated it by having any action, it wouldn't be this peaceful thing. So that's the donut. I just got to stare at that part of the, you know, oh, yay, there's the positive. There's the new me. There's the new response. There's the new experience. Yay, victory. Done. I think I'm almost at the end, and I'm like, did I finish that? So, be patient with your processing. I guess that's my just end of that story. It's just be patient with yourself. When you can see that A happened, B happened, okay, C happened, wow, all right. You should feel kind of crappy. You should feel kind of bad. You should feel tired. You should feel frustrated. You know, you get to feel that emotion. You know, life hits you. Life tests you. You're going to feel something. You're human. But step two, phase two, on you. What you going to do? Want different, do different. Love this. Here's just a couple quotes that, just sticky notes now. Mood equals reality minus your expectations. I'll say that again because you're tripping right now, aren't you? Isn't it fantastic? Your mood is determined by reality minus your expectations. Love that. Journaling's benefits. I'm telling you, man, that whole journaling, observing, you know, and it's like the third person. You woke up this morning and you were thinking, and last night you felt, and yesterday you were struggling, and, you know, did you need that? It's just been such, like, I can't, like, again, it was such, I had such a stigma attached to it because I'd go through bad things and journal about the bad things. And I'm like, felt bad and never felt like really great. And I was just like, I'm never journaling again. It was just, I had that connection. You know, I connected journaling to like bad, negative, yucky kind of feelings. And I just like, yeah, I'm not going to reread them. I'm not going to do it anymore. I feel better. Yay, you don't have to journal. And now doing it from like an observation standpoint, it's just so rewarding. It's like I'll sit down and have nothing to say, and all of a sudden it'll be like 5 pages, which I did write 5.5 pages. It was a Thursday morning, so it was after that whole time. And again, 5.5 pages of stuff that would have just been in my head. But I got it out. Guess what I did after that? That was the workout. And I felt so good after that. I went to Runyon Canyon with Zen. So it was just, I'm starting to kind of do more and more. It's like, you know, you can do this. This is what you did. This is what you felt. Remember that, you know, like telling myself, you know, being a cheerleader to myself and going, remember, look how good you feel. Look how far you gone. Look what you didn't do. Just remember. And I'm like, I get done. I'm like, I wouldn't have had that organizational clarity of I got that out. I got it on paper. I looked at it. I got to kind of rewind it, say it differently. I got to say it to myself. So rewarding, so rewarding. Another sticky note, I said, you can't unsee it. What? The truth. Once you've seen it. So again, when I'm like, oh, that's really on me. He didn't make me feel that way. I responded that way. I let that emotion go. It's like, oh, it's on me. Yeah, you want that connect? Do you like that person in your head? Like, no one else is going to get them out of your head but you. It's on you. It's on you. It's on you. It's on you. And like, it's like there's not any time that I spend wondering why something happened. You know, I know why I felt the way I felt that night. You know, again, for a moment, because of those variables, I was like, what does this mean? You know, are you going to attach meaning? And I didn't. You don't have to attach meaning to any of this. Stuff happens. End of the day, stuff happens to everyone. Who are you going to be in it? Who are you going to choose to be? What are your responses going to be? So like, once you see that, and you're like, oh, I'm responsible how I feel because what I focus on is what I feel. If I focus on a donut, I'm going to feel bad. If I focus on the donut, I'm going to feel good. If I focus on the hole, I'm going to feel bad. My choice. And it just 2 and 2 is 4. It's that clear to me. And again, I look at that as something I achieved. I look at that as a reward for all my hard work. I look at it as like the compass now for me. I know exactly what to do, how to. And again, it takes time sometimes to process all that, but once you see it, it's pretty hard to go, yeah, don't make those good choices anymore. You want to feel bad. And the last one is the confidence in oneself involves acceptance of your flaws. So when I went for the 4 a.m. dog walk and I was just rapid firing hypotheticals of what I was going to do in kind of retaliation, not fun. And I wasn't like completely, I mean, shocked in a way that it was still there, but it wasn't like it was new. I just never looked at it like that. Like, wow, look at that dude having all those like reactive thoughts, you know, retaliation thoughts. I was like, wow. And it was just like, you know, again, they're tugging, they're inside, they're, you know, I'm feeling them. So it's not like I'm, you know, literally watching someone else, but it's kind of like that, but I can still feel it. And I'm like, yeah, but you can't. And then when I journaled that next day, I was like, just remember that. Like, no matter what goes on in your head, your end decision, your response is going to be not to do anything, because you now know that retaliating a little, you're going to have a little bit of residual. Retaliating a lot, you're going to have a lot of residual. How much residual do you want after post moment? None. Okay, then. There you go. And that's on me. Like, that became a choice. I'm like, well, if I can feel yuck or not, I'll take not. Oh, that's on me. Oh, okay. But I have to accept watching that version of me run those hypotheticals. That's still part of me. Again, the beautiful monster. I'm walking forward, evolving with my beautiful monster, with my past, with every bad choice, every mistake I've ever made and will make, I'm moving forward with. Zen, turning nine. You know, I mentioned this on a few podcasts, but it's like, right now is the best, I'll say this sentence, right now is the best time to be me. Fact. And one of the biggest, hugest contributors to that is Zen in my life and how healthy he is. Like, again, the trifecta. I had those three things, like, out of my mind. Runyon Canyon, I didn't even think about anymore. That's when I was shocked, like, oh, we should try. And then he just kills it. And the next day after Runyon Canyon, we went for another hike up to Griffith. And he wanted to go up that big one again. And I was like, oh, my. So it was like the joy just of him being okay. Like, it's not, and again, turning nine, like 8 years with him. And, you know, 6 months into it, we went through that huge accident and bonded after that. And then, you know, COVID happens. And so now we've been 4 years now, just 24/7. And I don't know a lot of people that are 24/7 with a dog. And it was only 4 or 5 hours a week that I wasn't with them before, but it is literally 24/7 that we're next to each other, with each other. And the bond and the connection we have. I mean, it is just, and I'm present and I'm enjoying all those moments, the trifecta, being aware. If I was worrying about the future, bumming out about the past, who knows if I'm doing those things, but who knows if I'm doing them and enjoying them, and who knows if I'm doing them and I'm thinking what I'm thinking and feeling what I'm thinking. Feeling what I'm feeling. You know, it's just like I'm there. I'm in that moment watching Zen and going, oh my God, this is great. And wow, this is hard. And I'm like in that moment. And I'm like, that's what living life is. Being present, maximizing moments. That's what living life is. And I love Zen. I love Zen. And I love Zen. And he turns nine today as this podcast goes out. And I'm so very, very thankful that, you know, it's Zen, you know. I'm the one that got Zen. All right, ending here. Quote I wrote down, and I just wrote this down one day. It wasn't like I wrote this down as a sticky note. I think I journaled it. But it doesn't matter, does it? I have faith that if I get to continue what I'm currently doing, I'll end up where I'm supposed to be. And as I wrote that, I wrote it because I knew it gave me peace. And as I wrote it, it gave me peace. And as I read it, it gave me peace. And that sentiment gives me peace. You are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your Pro You Moment, second one of 2024. Let's do this. Beginning with that which we can control, eyes closed, seated, legs folded if you can. Neutral neck, shoulders over spine, navel tucked into the spine, shoulders over your hips. Draw the inhale through the nose, exhale out the mouth, controlling that ebb and flow. Slowing down the inhale, slowing down the exhale in the mouth. In the nose, out the mouth. In the nose, out the mouth. In the nose, out the mouth. Just try to keep that harmonious balance in check. Anything else enters the space between your ears, kindly, calmly ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I'll let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo. Well done. Success. I feel that way after every Pro You moment. It's close to 470 of them. And every one, I'm like, there it is. We did something. Little things done consistently. I mean, what I always talk about is just like right there, concealed in that Pro You moment. Spend some time in quiet. Be okay with your thoughts. Choose your thoughts. Focus on your breathing. Stay present in that moment and build upon that. What we just desire so much is to control, but what we do that's wrong, that does not serve us, is we just try to control things that aren't in our control. Argue, fight with reality. What is, is. Your happiness will be dependent upon how you choose to respond. What you focus on is what you feel. Focus on the donut. Feel gratitude. Focus on the whole. Feel emptiness, negativity, aloneness. Like you're not in control. You focus on the donut. You focus what you can control. Proper old. What can you do? What can you improve on? What can you get better at? Be thankful for that. Do that. And then again, be thankful. Peace and God bless.